So we left off the previous year. We were trying to go through a little bit of some of the halachas concerning the unique tefillas of Yom Kippur. And we left off pretty much in the middle of Musaf. So Musaf of Yom Kippur, of course, is very special because it has the entire avoda in it. Where is the source for saying the avoda? It's the Gemara Maseches Yom. The Gemara tells us, describes that the Amoraim used to say the avoda sakabanos in the middle of Musaf, avoda sayom of Yom Kippur, in the middle of Musaf. Apparently, this is part of the regular din of neshama parm sfaseinu, that the same way that we mention all the kabbanas ayom, whatever, always when we daven musaf, we mention the kabbanas ayom. So this is part of the special din of always retelling and recounting the kabbanas that we don't have the schus to bring this man hazeh. So we're supposed to say the avoda. The exact text of the avoda, so there were different neshchos, a different hogim. You see a lot of times in the chutzpila, there are a lot of different hogim, there are a lot of things. So we have, in even our own communities, we have Nusachashas, Nusachsfar, they have different, slightly different descriptions of the Avodas HaKabanas. But again, we all pretty much say the same thing. We all pretty much, for the most part, describe the exact same Avodah. There was a time that the Balamor has in the beginning of Masechet Yuma against many of the piyutim that were said concerning the Avodah, that he felt that there was a fundamental flaw in the piyutim. He thought there was one basic halachic mistake in all the piyutim. That many of the piyutim, many of the Sidri Avoda make mention of the payasos, make mention of the different lotteries that they would draw on the Mishnah describes in Maseches Yuma to figure out who's going to shef the Korban Tamid, who's going to bring the Ketores, who's going to do this and everything. There were four payasos daily in the Beis HaMikdash. So some of the piyutim make mention of these payasos. So the Baal HaMor says that he thought that the payutonim misunderstood the din, that the payasos didn't take place in Yom Kippur, they only took place the rest of the year. Because on Yom Kippur, everything has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. The avoda of Yom Kippur itself, for sure, has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. That's a din in the Torah, al-Chod, that's the Pasuk Chumash, that only the Kohen Gadol is kosher to the avodas Yom Kippurim. The rest of the avodas, the Korban Tamid, and the Menorah, and the Ketores, all the regular things that took place in the Beis HaMikdash all year long, and also took place in Yom Kippur, so the Mishnah describes also were done by the Kohen Gadol. So the Baal HaMor says that since those things had to be done by the Kohen Gadol also, it's unheard of that what were they doing payasos for? No one else had a schus. It wasn't open for business. No one else had any right to do anything in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, so the whole payasos didn't exist. There's a shaman that we showed him whether that second half, that din, that the Mishnah describes, that everything was done by the Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah even describes that the Shechitas HaKorban Tamid was done by the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kabbalah Saddam had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. It's tricky, because you have to shecht and then grab, you have to drop the knife and run and go, we can cover the dam. So the Mishnah gives the whole description how the Kohen Gadol would try to pull off that stunt. So that's what they did, Lamaise, they did that. So the Rishon Rav Machlek is whether that's really a din deraisa now. Maybe you can argue that min HaTorah, only the Avodas Yom HaKippurim proper has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. The rest was only a Chumah mid Rabbanim Mechatchila. And other Rishonim say, no, that everything, Mark's talking about, basically has to be done by the Kohen Gadol mid deraisa. So that's a shayla. But Lamaise, practically speaking, the Kohen Gadol did everything. Whether deraisa, Rabbanim, Lamaise, the Kohen Gadol did everything.
They still have the
payas
and the seer, no?
No, that's not these payas. That's the goral that the Chumash is describing. That has nothing to do with this. The payas were the 21st finger is it. Means all the Kohanim would put out their thumbs, and then the guy who was in charge would count that out. You won the Keteris, you won this, you won that. But the goral, that's the payas and Chumash. That's between the two seer, not between the Kohanim. So the Baal HaMor time is that since there were no payas on Yom Kippur Bechlal, so then the mention of them in the Avodah is mamash incorrect. So the Ramban has a big critique of the Baal HaMor. The Ramban says, no, the Paitan would have a right, that there were payasos, maybe they were limited, there were certain things that were done by the Kohen Gadol, but there are certain things that actually were done by other Kohanim, even on Yom Kippur itself. And the Ramban goes to explain to the beginning of the Mechamas, the beginning of the Seres Yuma, maybe the Tumas Hadeshen, maybe that was the Avodas Halayla, maybe other things. So the Ramban, of course, goes through all of the Kabbalas to try to show you that the payasos existed on Yom Kippur also. Rabban has a very stark araya that the payasos existed on Yom Kippur, at least to some degree, because that's where they're mentioned in Shas. The Mishnayos that talk about payasos are the Mishnayos in the second brech of the second Yuma. So according to the Baal HaMor, the whole second brech of Yuma is not really part of Yuma. It's there, but it really belongs in the other 353 days a year. So the Ramban says, what a strange way of writing Mishnayos. If Rabbi Anos is describing the Seder Hayom of Yom Kippur, the whole goal of the first seven Parachim of Yuma is to describe step by step what happened in the Beis HaMikdash in Yom Kippur, and the whole second parak didn't happen, because the whole description of payasos, according to the Baal HaMor, never happened on Yom Kippur. So Ramban thought that was structurally, textually very odd for Rabbi Anos to compose the second parak of Mishnayos and Maseches Yuma when that's the only day of the year that they didn't happen. Well, that was a pretty strong riot, pretty good textual riot the Ramban had. Anyway, Machlokes Rishonim, whether payasos to some degree, but the Maisa, whatever the Nusach is, that's what we say. There are a few things, odds and ends, in the Seder Hayom that we say that are very questionable. They're not 100% correct, al pi halacha. Some of them just rhyme better the way they are, so they may have just been, you know, described that way, even though they're not really 100% right. So the Chayyadim has a ha'aras about a certain corrections in the Avodah. He says that the Paitanim wrote certain things that even though it wasn't absolutely perfect, but it flows better for the story. So they switch things around here and there. So one of the things that the Chayyadim is ma'orer is that this is very, very important for us in Maseches Chulin. So the Torah says that you take the Dama part of the Dama Sar and you mix it together. I think Rabbi Huda had what to say about that. I think there's a Ran Nedarim what to say about that. So that's how Masnagin and Yuma. That's what you should be thinking about during that vote. Maybe during the break, we should be chasming the Ran. That would be an appropriate thing to do. So the Kach the Dama from Dama Sar.
Why isn't saying that the Baitanim change things to make it sound better, like after 3 o'clock type of an explanation?
You mean, is it after 3? You mean, unless you want to argue that what they said was right. I mean, Api Aloha, they really were right. So some of the things that the Baitanim wrote could be explained Api Aloha, and there are some that are Api Aloha, and there are some that this Pasha seems to be not correct. It seems Amish to be wrong. So there are different opinions on how to approach that story. So the Chayyadim, I wouldn't have said this on my own, but the Chayyadim already says it. The Chayyadim says that one of the things that we say in Amitz Koch, in the standard Ashkenaz Avoda, so it has as follows. It says that, I think you're walking around playing people. So, see, maybe you'll have to have corrected it. Oh, it's probably not correct. Is Ashkenaz? Okay, good.
I hope.
Okay. So after we describe the sprinkle of the dam on the par, and then the sprinkle of the dam of the soyer, and then the sprinkle of the dam again on the paroches, and the sprinkle of the dam of the soyer again, those are the four zrikas adams. There are two pars, two soyers, one each on one of the Kurdish, one in the Kurdish Kedosh, and one on the paroches. So then it says, Shav uvlalom, then he mixed the blood together, v'chitei mizbech sagur, and then he goes and he was mechat, he sprinkles some of the dam on the, I don't know what it's called, sagur, whatever it's called, on the mizbech hazahav. Sheva al taharo uvikranov arba. So he does seven on the taro shem mizbech, and then afterwards the kranov arba, then afterwards he puts the four on the corners of the mizbech. That's wrong. That's not much true. The pasuk says the exact opposite. The pasuk says that said v'lakach midam apar midam asiyav v'nasana chanos amizbeach saviv v'izah Allah v'nadam v'yatzpa oshav v'pamim v'tiarog. First, the chumash said beferish that first he puts on the chronos and then he puts on the tar osh amizbeach. So here it has it mamish reversed. So that the chayotim says is mamish. It's not right. So it reads better, it reads smoother, whatever it is. So for whatever reason, we're not sure exactly why this particular Python put it that way. The Chayyadim says it's mamish not true. So that's why a lot of people change it. So to keep the, you want to keep the poem, so some people, again, I'm not saying the whole world has to change, but the Chayyadim would recommend, so we do it actually, we add one word. We write, Sheva al Taharo, Achar Shebekron of Arba. After he did the Kron of Four, that way the poem stays the same and it becomes halachically correct as well. Okay. There's another thing here that this you can't say anything bad about the Pesach. This is probably just the Machzorim's fault, the printers of the Machzer, that there are two things that are blatantly missing from the Avoda. That's two of the Kachaya Monevs. The Mishnah says in Yuma that the Kohen Gadol did four different Zrikos of Achas V'Achases. The Torah says Beferish that you do the Zrikos Adav of the Par in the Kodesh HaKadosh, one of the Kapiris, so the Arog, you do that, and the Kachaya Monev, you have to count Achas, Achas, V'Achas, Achas, Shayim, Achas, Shosh, etc. So you have to do that, and then you do it again when you do the Zrikos Adav of the Sawyer in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and do that again with Kachaya Monev. Then when you come out to the parochas and you repeat the par, again you do v'kachay amoyne. And then when you repeat the soyer on the parochas, you vaitli, you do v'kachay amoyne. And the Mishnah says b'feirish, and b'sechaz yuma, v'kachay amoyne was said four different times. And the Machzorim was only there twice. and got lost in the shuffle. Why did it get lost in the shuffle? This you can't blame the Baitan. The Machzor were printed. They missed those two lines. So the Chayyadim says you have to put it in. He says, if you want to save the Avoda properly, you want to miss something in the Avoda. Okay, I'm not saying the Minu is Ma'akev. Maybe it's not. But the proper thing is, that's what many shuls already have added in, the Kachay Emona two extra times. So if you're in such a shul and they say Kachay Emona, you know what's going on, look in your Machzor. So if you look at the Mishnah Yuma, you'll see that Kachay Emona is in fact said four times. So some people add that also as a correction. Again, there are a few other odds and ends that the Chayyadim touches up in terms of the Avoda, but those are two of the big, the more blatant ones. So the Maisa is supposed to say the entire Avoda, and then afterwards we go back to what we said before, we have Slichos, that the same way we have Slichos in Shachar, of Meir, of Meir, of Shachar, of Mincha, was to have Slichos in Musaf as well. So this is the same story that we mentioned last week, that there were different Minhagim in Europe as to which Slichos to say. So there was the Machzorim didn't print any of the Slichos. They said, Ayin Shom, everyone should say their own Slichos. So some people say no Slichos, so some people brought back Slichos. So many shuls today say some form of Slichos. Everybody says a little bit of a kitzah Slichos in Musaf, that the piyut of Asher Hu Gemalchus is part of Slichos. That's why the refrain is Chatanu Tzurei Sechon Yatrein. It's one of the, in fact, a piyut from Slichos. So everybody has that in the davening, and then a lot of other shuls throw in a couple of other piyutim and a couple of Yidu Amidus, etc., that you have a little bit of the tzura of Slichos. So then Musaf pretty much finishes like the other tefilos, and then we get to Dav Mincha. So when you Dav Mincha, so the most startling thing in Mincha is Kriyas HaTorah. So Kriyas HaTorah Mincha doesn't really belong. Kriyas HaTorah is only a Shabbos Mincha. We never lay in a Yom Tovit Mincha. Yom Kippur is the exception to the rule. So Rabbi Kivega has a suffix as to what exactly is the nature of the laning of Mincha on Yom Kippur. What is this all about? Like my hypothetical laying all of a sudden on a Yom Tif. So Rabbi Kivega has a suffix. Is this the Yom Kippur that you did? This is like Kedushas Hayom. Like Shabbos is Mechayev of Kriyas HaTorah. There's a special Takana for Chavim. The Gemara says that Ezra made a Takana that you have to lane Shabbos by Mincha. Even if you just laned in the morning. The whole idea of laning every couple of days is Shlo Yahu Gimu Yom Belo Torah. You just lane 3 hours before, somebody just finished Shachar 12 o'clock, he's laying, 2 o'clock Mincha. So why is it? Why do you have to lay again? And the Gemara says you have to lay again by Shabbos Mincha, Mishum Abatlanim. Because there are people who sit around, don't learn anything while they're in Shabbos, so at least they should hear something. So get a few more psukim, they should get something in the afternoon in Shabbos as well. Not just the rabbi's rush, they should at least hear a little bit of different Torah. If they're not staying for the Shia, to the Chamayr, at least they should hear something in the afternoon. So they made a special Takana to lay Shabbos Mincha. But on Yom Tov, they didn't make that takona. But it could be that Yom Kippur somehow they wanted to get chaperan a little more extra learning, and maybe the psukim of the Gilead Arayis is important for people to hear in case someone has because of a tshuva from those averas. So Chazal Masakin that Yom Kippur is a mechayev of Leini ben Mincha. Well, maybe you know it's not a Gilead Yom Kippur dik Leini. It's a Tanis Tzibur Leini. The same way we Leini every Tanis Tzibur. So it's just that other Tanis Tzibur we have other Leinis. So the Gemara doesn't even talk about laying by Echal. The Gemara says that Atanis Tibi laying the Bracha to Kvalos. They say there were different Minhagim, perhaps even Bisman Chachme Gemara. The Gemara says in the end of Masechas Megillah quote, there were many, many different Minhagim about which parashas to lay and which days. The basic Takanas of Chachamim was you have to lay Minyan of the Yonah. That was the Takana that. On Shabbos you lay the parashah of the week, and then whatever that means, and then on Yom Tov you have to lay something Minyan of the Yonah. So that's the Gemara goes through the list and the end of Masechas Megillah by saying, on Rosh Hashanah you lay this, and then Sukkot you lay this, and basically that. And then the Gemara itself says that there were some places that lay in a little bit of a different parish, and then that's okay, because the Iker Takana was not any particular parish. The Iker Takana was to lay in Yana Diyama. And then by the end of the time of the Gemara, there was already Mesudah, this became the universal practice, the way we lay in Bizman Hazet. So in the Bizman Gemara, so the Gemara describes that the takana of laying on a Titus Tzibur is to lay the brachas of klolo. So the Rishonim write that somehow we don't follow that. There were other minhagim and other memory chazal, maybe shalmis and other minhagim that used to lay in the vayachal, and that has become our practice today. So every once in a while, you find in the realm of Kriyas HaTorah, the realm of Haftorahs, one of those small areas of halacha where we sometimes disagree. We don't follow exactly what it says in the Gemara. Because even in the Zman HaGemara, it wasn't absolutely written in stone. It wasn't the takon, you have to lay mamish this, because you have to lay something that's relevant to Inyan HaDiyayma. So the Zman HaGemara, there were different minhagim, and could be some of those minhagim from other places, some maybe minhagim Eretz Yisrael, or whatever, different minhagim that existed, but the Midrashim have almost found their way into our Seyed HaYom as well. So the Maisa, we lay by Echal on the Titus Tibur. For example, Titus quotes that the Gemara spells out what the Haftorah is for each of the Yom Tovim. The Haftarah is also the same story. There wasn't a Takana Kavua, you have to lay exactly this Haftarah. You have to, the Takana was, you have to lay something that's relevant either to the parasha that you lay or something relevant to Inyan Diyayma, or there was a special Takana laying the Gimel, the Puranas before Tisha B'Av, and the Gimel Sayyid and the Chavdi after Tisha B'Av. So there were certain general guidelines where it's not a Haftarah, it's not a free for all, but the specifics can, that's why you have different Minhagim, that's why. Sometimes you have Pashas Vishlach, the Ashkenazim leaning one, and this Fidim leaning something else, and the Temanim leaning a third, and Chabad's leaning this, and everyone's stopping here, and he's stopping there, and he's starting here. And so, how did that happen? So, the answer is because there never was a Takana, what to lane. So, it's Shaykh to have different Minhagim in this area. So, the Gemara, when it talks about the different practices of what to lane on the Yom Tovim, so the Gemara talks about laning on Simchas Torah, you know, the Shani Shashmini Ateres, so the Gemara talks about what Haftarah to lane. The Gemara doesn't say to lay the first paragraph of Sefer Yehoshua. It talks about laying something which has to do with Shemini Atzeres, something which has to do with Yom Tov. It's a different Haftarah Legamre. So, how did that happen exactly? Why are we laying from Yehoshua? So, Tosfos quotes already that this was a Takana back in the days of the Gaonim. The Gaonim instituted that you should lay the first paragraph of Yehoshua. That's against the Gemara. It's not against the Gemara. The Gemara itself never gave you ironclad guidelines in this year. It's clear from the whole Sugi there are no absolute answers to this question. So then the fellows can explain what's it based on. So why in the world are we laying that? If it's such a great Haftarah, why didn't they do it in the Zman Chazal? So there are different, the fellows can describe what the answer, what the reason for that is. But getting back to our story. So when we lay on Yom Kippur by Mincha, it's not 100% clear what the engine that's driving this laying is. Is this a Yom Kippur Dikadin or is this a Tanit Tzibur Dikadin? My Nafkamina. So Mekivegi says Nafkamina Ladin, and Nafkamina is, let's say you have a person who's not fasting, a person who's sick, there's a Chodesh Yesh Pesachana, but he's still sure. He ate lunch today. Well, the mice is still in shul. They want to give him maftiyona. He's got all the kachas to say. I always get maftiyona. I can barely stand up maftiyona. I'm tired. But here the guy just ate lunch. He's in great shape. He can give the best rendition of maftiyona. Can you give him an aliyah? The mincha. So we have a practice that we don't give an aliyah on a fast day to somebody who's not fasting because it's not, he's not participating in the time. Even though he's not supposed to be. He's a chutla. Still, if the mice is eating, he doesn't get an aliyah on the fast day. So Craig is not sure, could you give such a person an aliyah by mincha? So he said, if you hold that the laning of mincha is a time sibur to the laning, then it would not be appropriate to give such a person an aliyah. If it's not a time sibur to get it, it's a Yom Kippur to get in. You can give him an aliyah in the morning, Kivega says, because in the morning is the same as any other Yom Kippur. Every Yom Kippur you're laning, you're going to do Yom. So the fact that you're laning things that are relevant to fasting and Yom Kippur, it doesn't do anything. You can give him an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah, you can give him an aliyah on Yom Kippur also, even though he's not fasting. But by Nimcha Yom Kippur, Kivega is not sure. There's a word for the Briskerav, a very, very long word from the Briskerav, that the Briskerav held, let's say, on a regular time, Shavuot B'Tammuz. Let's say I have a fellow the doctor say really shouldn't be fasting. He's not going to die. He's not a Chalash Yesh Misakana. But he's a Chalash Yesh Misakana. It's not recommended. P'alok, he's not supposed to be fasting. But the guy doesn't listen to the doctor. A lot of people don't listen to the doctor. That's not right, but they don't listen to the doctor. The guy fasts anyway. So the Brisker Rav held, you can't give him an aliyah on the fast day. Why? Because he's not fasting. But he's not fasting. He's just not eating today. It means apidin, it's not briska vart. It's not chalashem tainis. It's only chalashem tainis when the halacha requires for you to fast. The fact that you're volunteering not to eat lunch today, so that doesn't warrant getting an aliyah. You have to be halachically fasting. It's not nitfas, it's a fast day unless the halacha requires you to be fasting. So according to that briska rabbi, you have the same word by Yom Kippur. If the doctor says, Khalid, you may die, and the guy says, I'm not listening to the doctor, I want my maftiyona today. So according to the briska rabbi, you can't give him maftiyona. If he's eating, you can't give it to him, and even if he's fasting, you can't give it to him, because if he did, he's not fasting. It's already a brisket terrorist. Such a person, we can't say, give him food instead of the shittle terrorist. You make sure he doesn't die. That's okay. Anyway, back to the story.
Two questions. Number one, well, you did touch about it a little before. What's the connection to the Kriya Darayos to Yom Kippur? Why do we read that?
So many say that that's because that's an area that sometimes people have to be chosen by Tshuva for, so we want to make sure that people in the Lachshim Emesai.
And second question is, starting off the topic, the Haftarah of second day of Rosh Hashanah, what's the connection to Rosh Hashanah there?
Because those psukim, it has to do with those psukim.
One of those psukim is quoted as a quote.
Is a chayt lo chesed nur ha'ayich. So that's
enough.
I think that's the whole thing that Kesher Baruch is remembering us.
That 30 psukim you could quote.
Yeah. I think that's the whole theme of that is. If we quote a few of those psukim in Zichronos. Haben Yachli Ephraim is in there. Zichat lo chesed nur ha'ayich. No, it's not there.
It's not there.
It's not there. But the theme is there. Kol Hashem Matachem Amidbam. So the Chodesh Baruch Hu is remembering us, even at the time of Korban, he's still remembering the good old days. So I think that's that. And also, it could be almost like the play on the idea of Racha, that Racha was one of the people who was remembered on Rosh Hashanah. So she was remembered to have a child in Rosh Hashanah, but she, that whole notion of Kodesh Baruch Hu remembering Racha was also a very Rosh Hashanah dikta theme. So maybe that's part of it. So maybe, perhaps. Anyway, get back to this story. So. So fine, so we finish Davni Minchas, we have Kirsat Torah, we have Maftiyon, we have a Minchas, pretty much the same as we've been talking about, on the Slichas and other things, and we finish Shema Nazrei, and then we begin the Tefillah of Ne'ilah.
You're saying about Minchas being the most important Tefillah?
I know. No, the Gemara Brachas says, Gemara Brachas quotes one opinion that says, Minchas is the most important Tefillah all year long, because Nene Elio El Mishas Mincha. But then the Gemara quotes another opinion, says Shabbos is the most important. Then the Gemara quotes one, says Ma'at. So, luckily, but according to one opinion, the Gemara, one out of three, so Mincha is the most important field. They say, the Bali Musa say, that what's the big Ma'ilah of Mincha? That Mincha is really the Mesivas Nefesh Tefillah. So Shabbos, you come to shul in the morning, you daven like a mensch, 35 minutes, it's part of your day. Ma'ir, if you're ready home, you're ready, you go to shul, finish. Mincha, you got to chop around the office, you got to chop in the job, you got to run out in the middle of a meeting. So people are also, it's a more, much more Mesivas Nefesh daven Mincha. He's in the middle of working, he's out in the field taking care of the sheep, you got to stop everything. Shachris, it's the first thing you do in the morning. Right before you go to sleep, you daven Ma'ir. Mincha is the hardest of the Tefillahs. That's what some of the Bali Musa say. Anyway, back to the story. So after Mincha, then begins Ne'ilah. So the Mishnah speaks about Ne'ilah. The end of Masechet Tainis, the Mishnah records the practice of davening Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is not really Yom Kippur per se oriented. It's really Tainis Tziba oriented. It's Ne'ilah existed Bezman Chazal and other Tainis Tzibas. They had rains, Tainis Fikishom, they davened Ne'ilah. The reason why we don't never heard of Ne'ilah except for Yom Kippur because we don't have real Tainis Tzibur today. Even Tisha B'Av is not absolute Tainis Tzibur. The only real bona fide Tainis Tzibur that we have is still Yom Kippur. So therefore we daven the special tefillah of Ne'ilah at the culmination of a Tainis Tzibur. What exactly is the text of Ne'ilah? So it's an achlegis in the Gemara. So one opinion in the Gemara is that it's not really a Shemon Esrei. It's just a series of different bakashas and chinas and tefillahs, like a lot of the stuff that we put at the end of the Shemon Esrei, after Zot, after Yotze, whatever, different things that we say. According to Shmuel's opinion in Maseches, Yen Maseches Yuma, that's all Ne'ilah is. It's not going to have a whole Shemon Esrei. And the Gemara says, we don't pass like that. We pass like Rav. Says, no, it's Amish, a formal Shemon. It's a real Shemon Esrei. It's the real Makoi. It's a real bona fide Shemon Esrei. It's seven brachas, like the rest of the tefillahs in Yom Kippur. And Kachazah, that's the tefillah, that is the tefillahs in Ne'ilah. That's, of course, how we pass it in Halacha. There is a big question, when exactly is one supposed to daven Ne'ilah? So the Gemara quotes two different opinions, whether the Zman Ne'ilah is Bayom, or whether the Zman Ne'ilah is Balayla, so it has to do with the ending of the Tainis Tzibur, but does that mean before it ends, or that means kind of after it ended already? So which one is it? So we paskin, and Minig is almost a little bit of a split. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the view that's Lagami Bayom. The Rishami concludes that we paskin like the Bandi Amr, it's Bayom. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes the practice, it's Mamish Bayom, and therefore it should be finished Bayom. Means the same way you finish Mincha before the end of the day, you finish Shachar before the end of Vidzman, Maya before the end of Vidzman. So you should try to finish Ne'ilah before the end of Vidzman. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you should try to finish Mincha before Shkia. Now it could be that the Shulchan Aruch had a different meaning what Shkia means. The Shulchan Aruch probably followed Rabbi Natan, but Shkia means different than we call Shkia, but nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch does describe the finishing of Ne'ilah before Shkia. There are more quotes the other practice, that's the more prevalent practice today, that as long as you started Ne'ilah Bayom, and the bulk of Ne'ilah was Bayom, then you want to have the tail end of Ne'ilah into the nighttime, into Benesh Mashal, so then into the dark also, that's okay. And that's become the pretty standard practice in most communities today. That we start the Ilah enough time, maybe Yod Yom, to get the bulk in, and then we touch up the end at night. The Poskim quote that one of the piyutim that we say in the Ilah has necessitated that we get to a certain point before Shkia, because we say Hayom Yifna, Shem Shem of Yifna, so then it would be inappropriate to say that if the sun is already set. Mishnah Berurah says if you should misjudge the timing, you should change it and you should say Hayom Pana. Shemesh,
Kvar Pana. The two, one is Kifna, the other one's Avor Kifana Yom.
Right. The Kifana Yom is not so terrible,
yeah.
But the Hashemesh, Hayom Yifna, Hashemesh Yavam Yifna.
The second one,
right, right, Right. So Hashem is Yavo Yifne. So Mishnah Berura was very worried about saying something that's not emes. So he said he should change it. Yavin Shul Bach Hashem, we're very qualified Bal Ila. So he's so far hasn't messed up yet. He's father Bal Ila. So far so good. I want to give him 900, but so far he's been very good. He always gets there. He always gets there within 2 minutes or so of Shkia. So we hope he does that again this year.
If according to the Ramah, when Ila is going after Shkia, does it still have the dinner? Tchinas be Yom Kippur, if like davening on Yom Kippur, like I guess keeping Yom Kippur going.
Yeah, it's still yeah. There's the Mishnah Tosefes. It's like Tosefes. We assume that the Svarim is still nechtavim and nechtam. They're still open until you blow off. That's the Minhag Olam assumes that way. Whatever that means, but that's what the Minhag Olam assumes. So we still keep on going strong until Shavuot blow. Okay. Anyway. So, because Ne'ila is dafka supposed to be Bayom, that's what the Yerushalmi makes an observation. Yerushalmi says, it's because Ne'ila is Bayom, that's what enables us to duch it and Ne'ila. Because the Mishnah describes duchening, doing the siskabayim, doing b'chis kohanim, during Ne'ila. So Yerushalmi says, if you would have held Ne'ila's Balayla, the Mishnah wouldn't make any sense. That's how the Gemara ultimately rejects. Yerushalmi rejects that opinion that Ne'ila is Balayla, because the Mishnah says you have to duch it. So you see clearly from the Yerushalmi that you have to duch it Bayom, and not duch it at night. Because many of the dinim of duchening are learned out from avodas hakarbonos. So just as avodas hakarbonos cannot be balayla, duchening cannot be balayla either. So the Taka doesn't say that in the Bavli anywhere. That din that you have to duchen bayom and balayla is Taka not a Bavli, it's a Yerushalmi. So Lachor would pass it like it. As a general rule in Psach Halacha that if there's no Bavli to the contrary, so whatever it says in Yerushalmi carries the day. So the Maharil somehow had a different tradition on this. The Maharil, who was the Pesach for German Jewry, Ashkenazi Jewry back in the 1400s, so the Maharil understood that we don't really follow this Rishami, that we pass in, you can taka say, you can duch it at night also, that's fine. And that's why in Germany they used to actually duch it in Anayim Azeh, in Washington Heights, in Breuers, Anayim Azeh, they still duch it by Ne'ila, even though it's way after Shkia, it's 40 minutes after Shkia, it's pitch black outside, and they're still duchening, that they hold that the Rishami was never accepted, that Bavli doesn't mention it, we passed like the Maharil, that was the Minhag Olam, and finished. So many, many people don't like that. In most communities, in chutzpah, it does make a difference because we don't duchen anyway. We wouldn't duchen by Ne'ila even in the middle of the day. We wouldn't duchen. So we don't duchen by Shachris either. We only duchen by Musaf. So for most of us, it doesn't make a difference. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a big issue because in Eretz Yisrael, they do duchen by Ne'ila, but they don't want to follow this Maharil. They want to follow the Rishami. That's what they're admitting in many places in Eretz Yisrael. Is almost by default, they fall back on the Shulchan Aruch and they finish Ne'ila, or at least duchening part of Ne'ila, before Shkia. So I remember when I was in Kibbutz Yavne, that was the practice. In many places in Eretz Yisrael.
Much after.
Yeah, so that creates a logistical nightmare because what are you going to do? So you finish duchening and now you have to stall for another half hour or so. So as a limit, how long can you scream Shema Yisrael for? So how long could the Chazan sing Kaddish for? So limit what you can do with it. So different places have different aces for this. So the Kermiyam, the minig was, they said a very long Avinu Malkeinu. And I mean a very, very long Avinu Malkeinu. It was Avinu Malkeinu one by one, each one approximately a minute or so. So you have 30 Avinu Malkeinu, so you can take up a half hour. So that's what they used to do in Kermiyam. What they do in other yeshivas? Same thing. That was the minig. I think that's the minig in many places in Eretz Yisrael. There's a story, I don't know whether it's been... whether it's ever been, proven to be accurate or not. I asked somebody from the Breuers community a couple of years ago, he said he doesn't know, someone like one of the older men in Breuers, he said he wasn't sure that the story was actually ever really happened. But there is some kind of a legend floating around in some circles that when Rav Shmuel Shofar Hirsch came to Frankfurt, he was originally not from Frankfurt, later in his life he came to Frankfurt. When he arrived in Frankfurt, it was a very, very small community, a community that had been decimated by reform and all the movements that Frankfurt had been at one time in here of Ein B'Yisrael. It was a Gedolei Olam lived in Frankfurt. You had Yeshua, you had Nasan Ali, Gedolei Olam, not all that long before. And by the time the middle of the 1800s, so there was almost nothing left. The whole community was a couple of 15, 20 families or something. Very, very, very small community. And Rav Shimon Shofar Hirsch came and he revitalized the community. So one of the things that happened when he came is that they were following the minhag that they had been following for 500 years, the minhag of the Maharil, that they were duchening after Shkia, and he thought that wasn't really right because most of the posting disagreed with it. So he wanted to change the minhag, and this is all the story goes, and he wanted to change the minhag to Shaduchin before Shkia. But I guess he didn't think of that chap as saying, well, the Avinu Malkeinu, he didn't think that would go over well. So he came up with another chap. that he said his Ne'ilah drasha after Ne'ilah was over. Instead of saying it before, he said it after Ne'ilah was over, right before they blew a shofar. So you can imagine that it loses a little bit of oomph, you know, to tell everyone, let's get ready to be Chayz B'tshuva, as everyone's waiting to blow shofar, so that doesn't go over well. So again, the way the legend goes is that he tried it once and then didn't succeed after that. So again, I have no idea what the story is. It's an apocryphal story, not a mamash. Anyway, back to this story. This, the real story is that the bottom line is, according to most poskim, if you're going to duchen by Ne'ilah, you should try to finish duchening before Shkia. But again, in Chutz La'aretz, for most of us, it doesn't make much of a difference.
Do we just skip the
form in the U.S.? No, we say Al-Kerem, we say Al-Kerem. The meaning is we say Al-Kerem. Yeah, Al-Kerem, we say that doesn't make a difference. Say that whenever you want. That's the meaning. Yeah, we say it. At the end of Ne'ilah, so we have a whole series of different minhagim. Again, there were different nuances in minhagim as to what to say when, Mishma Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Elokim, etc. We say all of the above. And then Tosfos quotes a minhag from the days of the Gaon into blow shofar at the end of Ne'ilah. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah quote different minhagim how the shofar should sound. Should it be a tashrat? Should it be just one tekiah? So in most places, most of our communities just blow one tekiah gadol and finished. That's it. So what is the purpose of this blowing of the shofar? So Tosfos quotes from, I think, from Haigon, one of the Gaonim, who says that the reason for this blowing is a zeichet to Yovel. That since Bizman Hayovel, so they had a mamish blow on Yom Kippur, so we don't want to blow on Yom Kippur itself because you're not supposed to blow, you're not supposed to do malacha on Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to do Sum Drabban either. So generally, to blow musical instruments is a problem. You're not allowed to blow shofar on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tif. On Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to blow. And even there, there's a shayla, you're allowed to blow. Let's say a guy wants to blow stam, not for the mitzvah of shofar, that's a question, but on a regular Yom Tif, regular Shabbos, not allowed to blow a musical instrument. So therefore, we're not going to do the zeichet to the Yovel in the middle of the day, so we do it at the end, when Yom Kippur is basically over anyway, so we give one blowing, and sure, it should be a little bit of a zeichet. If it would be a real zeichet, we'd have to blow tashrat, tashat, parat, all the kodos, like Rosh Hashanah. Not kidekach, we're not doing it, just a zeichet b'yalma. So Tosfos writes, he thinks it's a pella, even though the Gaonim who said it, he thinks it's a pella for that reason, because if that's the reason, then what are you doing it every year for? They only blew once every 50 years. So once every 50 years, we should do it. So it's usually, we ask most people, the answer to that kash, they'll say, no, we don't know when Yovel is. We don't know when Yovel is. Gemara can figure out exactly when Yovel is supposed to be. You just go backwards to the days of whenever you're going back to, and you figure out exactly when Yovel is. So we can figure out when Yovel is, but somehow, for some strange reason, we blow every year as a shtichel zechel Yovel. So other Rishonim give other reasons for the minhag. Other Rishonim say that the reason has nothing to do with Yovel. Some Rishonim say that the reason for the minhag is just to inform everybody that Yom Kippur is over. It's like the end of the day. Just tell everyone should go home and eat. And it's just just a declaration of the end of the day. Others say it's a little bit more spiritual than that. Olo Kim Bishru Hashem Lekal Shofar. It's supposed to accompany the Shechina back to Shemayim. Whatever it is, different reasons that are given. But again, this is a very, very powerful, very, very strong Minhag Yisrael. So you should try to blow Shofar. Try to hear Shofar. Again, it's not a din. It's a Minhag Yisrael. It's a fairly universal Minhag Yisrael at this point to blow a Shofar. After we blow shofar, whether you sing, you dance, whatever you shalom or shalom, whatever you're doing, so then we start barachim, hurachim, and you start davening meyer. So the Gemara has a startling statement in the end of Maseches Yuma. The Gemara says you don't really have to daven meyer from Maseches Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, you know why? Because you have to say Kshma, you have to say Birch Kshma, but you don't have to daven from Maseches. Why? Because tefillin ilah is patera shel avos. You just daven ilah. So you just finished davening. So the ilah covers you over. You don't have to daven ma'ariv and matzah Yom Kippur. So the rush and the end of human rights, that we don't paskin like that. Why? Because that statement only makes sense if you hold tefillin ilah is balayla. If you hold like we paskin, that tefillin ilah is bayom, the Gemara doesn't say shachar's paskin is ma'ariv. Only if the two tefillin are on the same wavelength, the same zman, so then one can pop to the other. So therefore, the halacha, the Rosh says, we would have to daven ma'ariv. Tosfos points out, the Gemara already makes the statement, and Tosfos elaborates upon this in the end of Maseches Yuma, that the Gemara says, if you hold the tefillas avos or shus, so then of course you don't have to daven ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur. You have to daven ma'ariv for it. If you never have to daven ma'ariv, tefillas avos or shus. So Tosfos says that Tosfos sheet in the fourth paragraph of Brachas says, tefillas avos or shus only means when you have other important things to do. If you have nothing productive to do, then of course everyone should be davening ma'ariv. So Tosfos says, the only reason why the Gemara says that if you hold tefillas avos or shus, there's no need to daven ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur, is because you have so many other important things to do. What exactly are you doing? What is so important? What is so important? So Tosfos writes, you're going to eat the Suda on Matzah Yom Kippur, which has the status of the Suda's mitzvah, because the Baskel says, Ech lecha chol v'simcha lachmecha, that it's a celebration of Mechilas Avayna. So Taisa says that's like a Sudas Mitzvah. So you're celebrating the celebration of Mechilas Avayna. So that warrants a Suda. And that Suda is more important than Davening Ma'ariv. If you hold it to Tzavos for sure. For us, none of this really matters because Bizman is that we passed until Tzavos Choyv, even though it's technically Rishos, the Klais will Makabal upon themselves to Davening Ma'ariv. So therefore, you have to Davening Ma'ariv. Bottom line is you have to Davening Ma'ariv until you have people, whether you like it or not. The Eel is not going to pop you until Tzavos Rishos isn't going to help you. So, Tachlis, you have to Davening Ma'ariv. Those people don't have mind, but some people, they're relying on what it says in the Gemara. They don't, because Abbas is for the Eulis Pateras and Hashem, the whole like that day in the Gemara that we don't pass. After Ma'ariv, so then you have to recite Havdalah. So Havdalah and Matzah Yom Kippur is like the same basic Havdalah as a Matzah Yom Tif. The only big difference is that it has a Borim Ha'Reish attached to it. Why are you saying Borim Ha'Reish and Matzah Yom Kippur? So the Gemara explains in Maseches Pesachim, in the fourth parak, that has nothing to do with the regular Borim Ha'Reish. Same words, but a totally different meaning. Borim Ha'Reish that we recite on Matzah Shabbos is to commemorate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Das to Adam HaRishon, that first Matzah Shabbos, to rub two stones together and to make a fire. So to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, we make a Bracha Borim Ha'Reish. That did not happen on Matzah Yom Kippur, that happened on Matzah Shabbos. So what do we make a Borim Ha'Reish on Matzah Yom Kippur for? So the Gemara is a totally different reason, because we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us fire back. For 24 hours, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't light a fire, we couldn't cook our food, we couldn't do anything. Fire was off limits. So to celebrate the fact that fire is given back as a gift to us, so we recite a bracha of Borim Ha'Reish. It's the same words, but a very, very different bracha. That's where the Gemara says, that's where there's a big difference to halacha, is that on Matzah Shabbos, you can make a Borim Ha'Reish pretty much in any fire. It doesn't have to be a fire that was around. I don't know, you can strike a match and make a bracha. But so you can't do that. You have to make a bracha on what's called the Nesha Shavas. It has to be a fire that was around from before Yom Kippur and hasn't been in use. And now we're commemorating how Baruch Hashem, the fire that our hands are off, we couldn't touch, we couldn't do anything with this fire for 24 hours. Baruch Hashem, now we could start all over again using it. So you can only fulfill that din of the bracha of Baruch Hashem and Yom Kippur if the fire was here and off limits. If you strike a match and start a new one, that loses the whole impact of the bracha. So therefore, you have to be careful in Matzah Yom Kippur, unlike Matzah Shabbos, you have to be careful in Matzah Yom Kippur, that you should have a fire that was around from beforehand. That's what many people do. They have yahrzeit candles, but other things, they have candles that are lit from beforehand that will enable them to recite the bracha on the Ner Shabbos. Tuskim say when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, not this year, but when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so technically you don't really need a Ner Shabbos because it's no worse than any other Matzah Shabbos, but Lechet Chili should still have one because in order to get that extra kiyum, to get the double bracha, get the double l'schus, so you want to have it on a Nesha Shabbos as well. But this year, when it's on a Wednesday, so of course you have to have a Nesha Shabbos. If you can't find a Nesha Shabbos, you can't recite the bracha m'reish, so you make Avdallah without the bracha m'reish. After Avdallah, so most of us say Kiddush Levana. Some people say Kiddush Levana already last night, because there are different minhagim in the post, whether we should say Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur or after Yom Kippur. So the Gra's opinion was, you should say it right away. Every mitzvah, you don't know which mitzvah is going to tilt you into the Sefer Chaim. So it's foolish to lose out the opportunity for a mitzvah. You should have grab the mitzvah, Kiddush Levana right away. So most of us follow the minhag. The Ramah that says, no, we push it off. But Kesli Yom Chagein, whatever. It's all part of that saying, you know, hush, hush. We don't want to talk too much about the new moon of Tishrei too much. We want to keep it on the quiet. That's why we cut down on that. We don't mention the Kavanas of Rosh Chodesh explicitly in the davening on Rosh Hashanah. We just mentioned Yom Kippur Yachayad, you know, Musfer Yom Zikar Nazeh. The whole idea of Bekes Yom Chagein is somehow we don't want to keep the moon out of the picture. We don't want to make too much out of Rosh Chodesh also. So we revise that minig as we push it off to left Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, so the minig is that you say Kiddush Levana right away. Right after, if there's Levana, you say it right away, right after Ma'ariv. This is unlike Matzoi Tisha B'Av. Matzoi Tisha B'Av, so the Pesukim say you should eat something first, because you're not supposed to take Kiddush Levana unless you're happy. You're supposed to be simple, you're supposed to be in a good mood. So Matzoi Tisha B'Av, the guy is in a miserable mood, he's starved, fasting for 24 hours. So you give him some deep first before he says Kiddush Levana. Matzoi Yom Kippur, even though we're also starved, Matzoi Yom Kippur, but we're so happy. The mood is so different. Matzoi Tisha B'Av is krechting, nebuch, you know, the basic Tish. So we're still sad. So you need a little something to pick us up a little bit. So give you a guy a ruggeluch to make him a little happier. I remember when I was once davening in a certain place in Eretz Yisrael on Matzah Tisha B'Av, and up at a couple of shul in Eretz Yisrael. And right after Ma'ariv, so they were giving out cookies. They wanted everyone to say Kiddush Levana together, but they were giving out cookies to everybody. They should take a little mezonos, take a little something, and then we should all go outside and say Kiddush Levana together. So I remember there were two standards of cookies. There were the mezonos cookies and the shahakol cookies. I didn't want to ask whether the shakalus were the leftovers from Pesach. It could be that they were. But I remember there were the mezonos cookies. I remember the Rabbonim got the mezonos cookies and the Balbatim got the shakal cookies. So I didn't have a beard, so Eretz Yisrael, that by definition means that you're a Baal Bos. I got the shahar for you, so I didn't want to get the Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, but I'm going to say Yom Kippur, you don't have to wait. Yom Kippur, you can just say it. We're in a good mood no matter what, and it's fine, it's okay. Just say, you'll be able to say it. Say Kiddush Levan, right away. Okay, so I think we try to go through a little bit with the Nusach HaTfilah, some of the not the Chazal of Pomp, the Dinim of Tfilah, the unique Tfilahs. So maybe we'll just close with a little bit of Divrei Chizm. Hopefully the Divrei Torah themselves, that's the greatest Divrei Chizm. We'll try to give them, try a little bit more. Gemara in Tainis, Gemara in Baba Basra, raised the question. The Mishnah speaks about the two very, very happy days of the Jewish calendar. L'hayom tovim l'Yisrael. There are only two days that are really, really great days. One of those great days, one is Yom Kippur, and one is Tu B'Av. So the Gemara is startled at Tu B'Av. What in the world happened to Tu B'Av to make such happy days? So the Gemara started to bend over backwards to find this reason, that reason. There are five different reasons. So many different reasons to explain why you're having Shabbaton for whatever it is and Tu B'Av. You have to explain away what the significance of Tu B'Av is. But Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, the Milsta Pshita. I don't need a Mishnah. The Gemara, it's just obvious. Yom Kippur is a really, really great day. And why? What's so great about Yom Kippur? What's so happy about Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says that two reasons. The Gemara says that Yom Shlicha Mechilu Kabar, we receive Mechilas Avoinus. And number two, it's Yom Shenitnu Luchos Shnios. It's the day that the second Luchos were given to Klal Yisrael. So it's a combination of those two reasons that elevate Yom Kippur and make it mamish, no pun intended, le'eliela, such a gevaldik as man of Simchas Hayom, Ha Yom Tov Yisrael. It's not interesting because in Hilchos Tefillah it's not that way. We don't say Hal in Yom Kippur, and the Rambam writes, because not Yimei Simcha Yaseira, because it's still Pachan and Aim of Yom Adin, like Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. You don't say Hala and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because it's not Simcha Yisrael. It's not the real, not as high as the Shal Shal Golem. But somehow, the Lo Yahayam Tovim Yisrael, it doesn't say Simcha. Lo Yom Tovim Yisrael, something being a Yom Tov, being a good day, a day that's intrinsically good. So Yom Kippur has it almost over the other Yom Tovim, that it's the days of great Tovim Yisrael, because we were granted the Luchos Shnios and we also received the Mechilas Avinus. So the question is, are these two celebrations, is this one and two? Is it the two different dinim? The two halachas, the two mechayvim of the Yom Tov part of Yom Kippur. It's a Yom Tov for two separate divisions. Happens to be, coincide, just coincidentally on the calendar, two great, wonderful events happen. We got the luchos, and we had a mechilas dinim kapar, and we call it a day, and two great things happen, and therefore they combine together. But I say, no, that these are two sides of the same coin. It's chadamils. It's really one thing. That the celebration of Yom Kippur really is one, and it's almost like two parts of that same celebration. One is the Mechilas Avinus, and one is the Luchos Shnios. So the truth is that this dual theme, whether it's one theme or two themes, is playing out throughout the entire Ne'ilah, because at the end of the day, what the essence of Ne'ilah is the saying of the Yud Gimel Midas. That's the only thing that we say. The Slichas in Yom Kippur are so short. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, you should say short Slichas in Yom Kippur, and by Ne'ilah for sure, you should say very, very short ones. And a davening is much shorter than the other tefillahs because you're in a rush. You have to end the day. You don't want people to schlep out. You don't want people to be hungry. So you have to end bezman. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, yikatze betefillahs, yikatze bepiyutim, yikatze beslichas. You should say, neither should be short to the point. It should be qualitative tefillah, but it's not a quantity. It's nowhere near the size of Musaf. It's nowhere near the size of Shacharis. It's not even as long as Maariv. It's fairly short in the Ilah. So even the slichas that we say, they're the abridged, very, very shortened version of the slichas. So what do we say? Just the Yud Gimel Midas. Just keep on saying it. Nachamol, 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 Yud Gimel Midas. Because the Yud Gimel Midas are ultimately the essence of what the day is all about. Because the Yud Gimel Midas were those words that accompanied both of these events. That was the Makpa Patish of the slicha. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to be Meichel to Klai Yisrael because so that's the assurance, that's the Avtocha L'Davis, the Gemara says, that the promise that Klai will always receive Mechilas Avonis in every generation is Yasel Lefanik Yaseder Azeh. So Yud Gimel Midos is the Makah B'Patish of the Slicha, and Yud Gimel Midos is also the Makah B'Patish of Luchos Shnios, because it was at that at that appearance, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu to finally give him the Luchos Shnius, he appears to him by teaching him the Yud Gimel Midos, and then he hands him the Luchos, then he gives him the second set of Luchos. So the Yud Gimel Midos accompany both of these events, and they're driven in time and time again. That's the essence of an Ilah, to walk away from the Ilah, realizing that we just experienced the Chilis Avaynis, we just experienced the giving of the Luchos Shnius. So what is the connection between the two? If they're really one event, really one Nechayev, what is it all about? So L'chora, it gets to the heart and soul through our relationship with Torah, the sense of that l'fimidus adin, Torah is not really for us. L'fimidus adin, we're really fooling ourselves that we're sitting and we're pupiling about Tam Kikar and Father about Mimimimim Abotel, and we're talking about things that are that have, we're not royal akach to be talking about these things. Who are we kidding? The Torah is the Chochma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is Chochmas Hashem is Baruch, that He created the whole world. He's Tagab and Reis for Allah. That all the Chochma is all Munach in the words of Torah. Every Min B'mino Lobotil and every Ratans and every Dav Shesh Matir and everything, these are Elamis Aliyanim. These are worlds that are not Shaykh to us. Haraya, that was the Malachim's Taina. The Malachim's Taina at the time of Matan Torah was, what are you giving it to the boss of a dumb for? What, they're going to misuse it, they're going to abuse it, they're not going to appreciate it, they're not going to understand it. We have no shaykhas, Torah is kulo ruchni, and we are shaku in alam hazeh, we are shaku in our taivas, and our gaivas, and our kovas, and all the things, redifas are this, and redifas are that. What are you, who are you joking? You're going to sit and learn Torah Hashem? It doesn't make any sense. It's taka right, it doesn't make any sense. If you meet us adin, it doesn't make any sense. The Kodesh Baruch Hu granted us Torah, if you meet us arachim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to us and says that, you know what, you taka don't really deserve Torah, because you're not really going to appreciate it. You know what? Hashem, Hashem, Karacham, Mechanan. I'm going to go lefnim Meshuras Adin. I'm going to go and break the rules of Din. The Din rules of Din. You don't deserve Torah. Lefimidas Arachemim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to us that I'm going to be Mocha your Avonos, and I'm going to clear the slate, and I'm going to give you that ability to now learn Torah. When you're Moli Chatoim, you can't learn Torah. How are you going to learn Torah? How is Torah going to penetrate into you when you're Moli Chatoim? The answer is the Taka doesn't. But once those chatarim are cleared, once the Kodesh Baruch Hu grants us the gift of Mechilas Tifa Chabara, then we have a fighting chance. Then maybe, we could be Mekabel Torah properly. So when the Gemara says that Yom Kippur is a time of two great events, it's Mechilas Avonos and Kabbalas Torah, they're Hainu Hach. That means the only thing that enables us to get the Torah is that same thing that enables us to have Mechilas Avonos. That's Midas HaChesed, Midas HaRachem, the Kodesh Baruch Hu that gives us that tremendous gift. What L'chor should emanate from this is that once we've finally been Zoicha to Midas HaRachamim, it took us 40 days to get to Midas HaRachamim, to get to the punchline of the end of Ne'ilah. Once we finally get that gift, the Baskol comes out and announces, Lecha Chobo Chmechla, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon us such Midas HaRachamim, has cleared the slate, and now we're mamish like Nekim, we're mamish like Malachi HaShoros again. We're back to where we started. So it should be an unbelievable chef of Tavor in the world. There should be an amazing Kabbalah Satorah, that Yom Kippur is the ultimate Kabbalah Satorah. Shavuos was nice, but you know, we're still eating cheesecake and still doing Averis. But now we're accepting Torah, mamish like clean and clear and ready to be Mekabel Torah properly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to us as Mivinis HaRachamim. There should be such a chef of Torah in the world. Tafka Mitzvah Yom Kippur. It's not all right, Baruch Hashem. It's a tremendous celebration. That's exactly what we do. We have to take the kochos from Yom Kippur and be able to take it and now plug it into proper Avodas Hashem, plug it into Limud Torah. So Baruch Hashem is B'nai Torah, is B'nai Yeshiva. So Yom Kippur has that added dimension for us. Yom Kippur is for everybody Mechilas Avodas, and for everybody to come also Torah. But for B'nai Torah, like yourself, who are Zoicha to sit and learn Yom V'Laila, and to Mamish Allah Torah, Yom Avodah Mamish B'chol Kochem. It's an unbelievable day. Yom Kippur is an unbelievable day because it sets the tone for the rest of the year. It gives you that ability to be Mekabel Torah. So whatever you accomplish in Yom Kippur, Mitam, Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, that opens up your neshamas for Kabbalas Torah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu should hear all of your tefillas, especially those tefillas. The tefillas that you daven on Yom Kippur for Avas HaTorah are the purest of the pure. A person says on Yom Kippur, Kiheim Chayen Avirach Emein, and really believes it. A person says Avinu Avarachamon, and a person says Avirach HaTorah in Yom Kippur, and every tefillah you say, the same Chalkenim Besar Asecha, heartfelt. So So those tefillos are the most important tefillos of the year. Those tefillos will be mekuyam because Hakadosh Baruch Hu was answering all of it. All the other tefillos, all the kashas are answered on Yom Kippur. So if you really put your koichas into those tefillos of the Sefer Yom Kippur Asecha, you'll have a tremendous yachid l'shkai on Limud HaTorah. So yeah, not only do you do well in the Bechinas, that's also true, but you'll have the Torah will penetrate into your heart and soul like it's supposed to, in a way that Lefimidus did is not shach. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of that, all of those tefillos. And the most important tefillos for all of us is the Sefer Yom Kippur Asecha. Okay? Good. Okay, those will be around tomorrow. I think 3 o'clock I'm giving part of the Yomiyah. So.